Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This morning, we come to verse 19 in chapter 6. Now, you'll remember we're dividing this chapter basically into two sections. The first section, the first 18 verses, and then the second section is the rest of the chapter. I hope that you've got the structure of those first 18 verses down by now. You remember it starts, verse 1 is the principle, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So in other words, these things that you do, which kind of are, he talks about fasting, giving, praying, these, quote, that most people see as religious things, when you do these, don't do them to attract attention from others and get praise from others. And then he spends the rest of the time talking about those three things, giving, praying, and fasting. And we've been over that a great deal. We come to verse 19, and now he's talking more about our relationship to the world in general. And we have to be really careful because this is still in the presence of the Lord. A lot of times we may take the attitude, well, you know, these things like giving and praying and fasting, and you could add reading your Bible, praying, going to church services, all of these things. These are the spiritual things. And when we do these things, we've given God his due, and then the rest of everything is ours. That kind of compartmentalization is deadly, and God hates it. And we need to understand that. So when we come to verse 19, we're still living in the Lord's presence. Now, we're going to see later there's a connection between this section and the section before, but we'll leave that to a little bit later. So I want to read now, beginning in verse 19, 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Father, these words are so simple. But Lord, bring them to life for us this morning, that we might understand and that you might challenge us to search our own hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to start this morning with the command. There's basically one command. You might want to take it in two parts. It's negative and positive command, and this is it. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, that's the negative, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. So that is the simple command that we're going to deal with. The rest of what we find here is explanation of why we do that and how we do that. Again, isn't the Lord gracious? If he just gave us the command, that would be enough. But so often he explains it to us why he wants us to do these things, and that's what we have here. Now, the first question that you might have when he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, you might say, ooh, does he mean that? Lay up for yourself treasure? Doesn't that sound kind of selfish? Especially in light of another passage. You can listen or you can turn there. Luke chapter 12. Story that many of you know. And I want to read it to you again. We read a lot of scripture earlier, but we didn't read this one. We often call this the parable of the rich fool. Jesus tells the parable. And I want to start in verse 13. Luke 12. Verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, that is to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, Fool, This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So after he tells a parable, that last verse, he gives a warning. So is the one, or so is everyone, who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, it sounds like he's saying on the surface, you must not lay up treasure for yourself. And yet over in Matthew 6, he says, lay up treasure for yourself. Are these contradictory? They are not contradictory. All we have to do to understand is to get the context of Luke 12. Notice, his problem is not that he's laying up treasure for himself. The problem is the kind of treasure he's laying up. He's laying up earthly treasure. That's what he calls it in Matthew 6. He's laying up treasure that will not pass death. Remember that little parable? I think I can quote it, about the shortest one that Jesus ever told. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Now, Jesus is not opposed to treasure. God doesn't have a problem with seeking heavenly treasures. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, he rewards those who diligently seek him. So God has no question whatsoever about us laying up treasure for ourselves. But the question is, what kind of treasure is it that we're laying it? And in this passage, he talks about earthly treasure and heavenly treasure. Is there a difference? Indeed, there is. This was a problem with the rich fool. He laid up treasure, but in the end, what did he find out? It would not pass the grave. It only went that far. Even if for 50 years he enjoyed all his treasure, eat, drink, and be merry, it did not extend beyond death, which came much quicker than he thought. So, the other thing I need to begin to talk about is, don't limit what Jesus says to money. It includes money, but it's much more than that. Your treasure is what you give yourself to. Your treasure is what you enjoy most. It's your passion. It's what gives you pleasure, what excites you. That treasure might be hobby, possessions, children, spouse. Now, some of you may get a little riled and you may say, you can't put children and hobbies in the same category. That illustrates that we can make anything our treasure. If you want to put it another way, we can make anything our idol. What is dear to you and doesn't endure into the next life? That's the earthly treasure he's talking about. Now, he tells us, don't do that. Rather, store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Now, some people will take this and they will limit it to money and say, well, that means you give lots of money to God. You give it to the church. You give it to missions and so forth. Well, that's part of it, but it goes much deeper than that. It's not just sending your money ahead, though that's certainly a good idea. But a person could have very little financially and could be storing up great treasure in heaven. It's not just about finances. Now, we're going to leave that and we're going to come back to some of that, but that's the command. Don't store up treasure on earth, but store up treasure for yourself in heaven. Now, the next question we want to ask is why? Why does Jesus give this command? Why does he tell us, don't lay up treasure on earth, but lay up treasure for yourself in heaven? Why is this for God's glory and for our good? Now, any believer ought to be able to answer that, but we want to answer it out of this particular passage. So, read it again, back in Matthew 6, and I hope you'll just stay there because that's where we're going to be. I hope by the time we're through you have it in your head so well that you can quote it. Don't lay up for your treasure. Don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, The first thing, if we're going to understand this, we have to understand something about riches in that culture. When we think of riches, we think of certain things, and we'll talk about that in a while. But in that culture, one of the first things that signified riches was expensive, ornate clothing. They loved that. How did kings distinguish themselves? One of the ways is they wore the robe. They wore the clothing that kings wore. So if you were rich, one of the ways, and that's one of the things that rich people in that culture did, they impressed others. What way to better impress others than to wear this kind of clothing? Store it up so that you have a change for every day or several times a day, so on. That was a part of riches in that day. Now, that was a great feast for insects, like a moth. They could destroy that kind of stuff. And he says, that's the problem with storing up earthly riches. You take a moth, he'll come in and he'll destroy what you have. And then the next thing he says is rust. Okay? Now, rust, we think of metal when we think of rust, because rust does a number on metal, eventually even precious metals. Okay? So, don't lay up for yourself silver and gold that rust will finally corrode. That's foolish. Now, that's one interpretation. There is another interpretation. Because that word translated rust, there are other ways to translate it. It's literally, the word literally means it has to do with eating. It's an eating away. As a matter of fact, six times this word is translated as food, not rust. It's an eating away, and that's what rust does with metal. However, some have taken this to mean grain. You store up grain. What did the man, the rich fool, what did he store up? He built bigger barns and he stored up grain. Well, this eating away, that kind of stuff will be corrupted. It will, I don't know, what's the word? Decay, etc. Spoil. That's the same idea as rust. So maybe it's that. Whichever way you take it, it is vulnerable to loss. And then he gives a third factor. However you take the others, we're talking about clothing, etc., either grain or silver and gold, all those things. There's a third factor. They can get stolen. Thieves can break in and steal. Literally, it says, where thieves break through and steal. And he deliberately used that word breakthrough because they made their dwelling places usually of mud bricks. And if you wanted to get into one of those houses, that may be locked up, but you could just dig through the wall and you could get in the house. So if you stored stuff, it was vulnerable to being taken by thieves. So Jesus says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth because they're vulnerable to decay, to loss. They will go away. You cannot keep them very long. Now, the message is clear. Don't do that. Instead, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where nothing can touch it whatsoever. Did you hear that in 1 Peter 1:4? He talked about, I can't quote it right off the top of my head right quick. He says, he's laid up for us an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. That's the kind of treasure that we want to accumulate, not what is on earth. Now, we might say we live in a different world. Our world is not like that. We don't, at least it's rare when it's just clothing. Now, there may be some in royal circles and countries like England that may make a big deal out of that. But generally for us, we don't think of clothing or grain, storing that up to impress people. And even gold and silver, you know, I don't know anybody that keeps gold and silver in their house. In our day, we have banks. We have more sophisticated ways of storing up treasure. We have our savings account, 401ks, and other investments. People rob banks. And you say, well, we're not worried about that because it's FDIC insured. We've got it all together. Now, I want to remind you, there is no earthly treasure that is safe. Let me repeat that. There is no earthly treasure that is safe.
Let's suppose someone wants to build them a huge home. They invest in a home. And that's a good investment. It'll probably make money. You'll sell it later. And this is a multi-million dollar home, and he builds it in New Orleans. What happens? They have hurricanes in New Orleans. He builds it in Alaska. What happens? They have earthquakes in Alaska. He builds it in Kansas or Oklahoma. What happens? They have tornadoes over there. You say, well, no, we wouldn't be so foolish as to do that. We will put our savings in good places. But do you know, we have these things called cyber thieves these days. And something even more serious, this thing called identity theft. And we could go on and on and on, but if we did, we would miss the point. So I want to say two things. First is this, back to the rich fool. Even if you store up your treasures and you have them till the day you die, you won't have them any longer. You won't. We read it earlier. We come into this world, we leave this world, when we leave this world, we take nothing with us. That's what happened to the rich fool. Matter of fact, I get the idea that death came pretty quickly after he got it all stored up. So we will not take it past the grave. The second thing is this. I mentioned it before, I want to mention it again. Jesus speaks in tangible terms, but what he's saying is parabolic in nature. It's like the parables. He's not limiting treasure to financial things. If he were, some of you would probably say, well, doesn't apply to me. I'm sure not storing up riches in this world. I just have enough to get by. No, that's not what he's saying. It goes far, far beyond that. All of us are tempted to lay up our treasures on this earth, whether it be status, prestige, family relationship, nostalgic possessions, whatever it is, they're all going to be ripped from us. Now, this is what is tough about this command, don't lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. There are certain things, I call them the ugly things, that we don't have so much trouble with. Murder, adultery, stealing, these kind of things. Oh, I wouldn't do that. And the reason those are easy is because we don't have to deal with those. But when we start talking about earthly treasure, including money, we have to deal with it. You can't live in this world without money or some equivalent in some form. You have to deal with it. It's kind of like eating. I like to eat more than I like to admit. But the trouble is, I do have to eat to survive. And so these things, because we have to have money, because we have to have family relationships and all of these things, they're tough because we can't just say, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. We have to have something to do with it. But Jesus says, do not make it your treasure. Now, let me give you an example. Abraham. Remember Abraham? He had a son. What was his name? Isaac. He had a precious son. He had waited 25 years for this son. Was it a godly thing that he had this son? You better believe it. This was the son God Himself had promised Isaac. Wow, how good. Was there a danger in Abraham's relationship with Isaac? You better believe there was a danger. He could turn Isaac into his idol. Matter of fact, God was well aware of that, wasn't He? What did He tell him to do? Take your son, your only son Isaac, up on that mountain and offer him to me. And you remember, Abraham went up there. And the Scripture says he obeyed, he went. But can you imagine what was going through his heart all the way up that mountain, those days that he traveled? And when he finally raised the knife to obey God, what was the point of all that? Oh, there's a lot of beautiful pictures there. But one of the main points is Abraham could not treasure Isaac in the same way he did God. Do you know the things that trip us up, that become idols, that become our earthly treasure? They're not the bad things. They're the good things, even the gifts of God, when we treasure them more than the giver. So that's why this command to not lay up earthly treasure, because those treasures won't last, that's why this is so important, because we are so vulnerable to do it, every single one of us. Now, I can talk to us because I know us. We think family is really important, do we not? Whether it's our children, our spouse, our brothers and sisters, even though we may be older, we still treasure those family relationships. And they are important. But we have to be really careful that they don't become earthly treasure in the sense that these are the dearest things to us in life. Now we come to the last question. We've talked about the command. We've talked about why Jesus tells us this command. Now we talk about how. How do we obey this command? And this is a vital question. How do we not invest in earthly treasure, but heavenly treasure instead? Now, we're not totally leaving the why, because it's so intertwined with the how. But now we're transitioning to the how do we do this? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That last part is literally, for where is your treasure will be there also your heart. However you read it, we need to meditate long on that. That needs to make a deep impression on us, because this is what defines what our treasure is. It's easy to say, oh, I'm not laying up treasure on earth. I'm laying up treasure in heaven. But there's a test to that, and the test is this: where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, we're going to talk about this, because the treasure and the heart are linked together. They walk together. They travel together. Wherever you find one, you find the other. And so this is the real test of where we are storing our treasure. Ask yourselves questions. What is dearest to you in life? When you don't have to think about something, where does your mind drift? What is the substance of your daydreams? All of that adds up to, where is your treasure? Where your heart is revealed by where your treasure is. Now, some of you, and some of you know, sometimes I misquote this verse, and I say, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. And I don't mean to, I don't ever want to misquote the Lord's Scripture. But they're tied so closely together, it's like it kind of works both ways. Find where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Find where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. They go together. And we're going to talk about that and how to kind of unmingle that a little bit. But this is so important, because if the Lord doesn't have your heart, you can be assured that you are storing up earthly treasure. I like the way NIV phrases Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This is why we want to store up our treasure in heaven, because we want the Lord to be the focus of our heart. And you remember, he identified the great commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So how can we be sure that we're storing treasure in heaven? We give attention to this principle, this heart treasure principle. So there are two ages that are pictured in the Scripture. There's the now age, here and now, and there's the age to come. Okay? Our problem is that we make too big a division between the two. And so if we're not careful, we could conclude, while I'm in this world, I store up treasures in this world. When I get to heaven, I'll store up treasures in heaven. The problem with that is, the age to come has already broken into this age now. Stay with me. If you want to read with me, Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read two passages. They're close together. You can find them both if you find the one. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to begin in verse 4. You know the first three verses talk about how we were before we came to Christ. And then in verse 4 comes the good news. Ephesians 2, 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now listen to verse 6. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, I'm living in this world, but I am also seated in the heavenly places with Christ. I am tasting the age to come. Go over two letters further to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, and the idea is since, it has happened if you know Him, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now, notice, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is your life. That's hard for us to get a hold of, but it's extremely important. This is how we store up treasure in heaven. We realize, we recognize, we rejoice in the fact that we are citizens of heaven, and from there we wait for the Savior who is coming for us. We've already partaken of the age to come. We're not just in this world. 1 Peter says that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. Sojourners, some translations put it. However you want to put it, we're just passing through. We don't belong here. It's temporary. It's like Abraham. We're looking for a city that has foundations. That's why we can say, Christ is my life. And I want to set my mind on things above because that's where my home is, and I'm already partaking of that home even now. Now, there's so many illustrations of this that it almost illustrates itself, but let's engage in a couple of them. So let's suppose that a man gets an assignment in another country. Let's say it's Spain. His company sends him to Spain and he's going to make big money in Spain. He's going to be there 1 year. So while he's in Spain, what does he do? He's not going to buy a house. He's only going to be there a year. He's not going to invest in some expensive rental and buy expensive furniture. No, he's only going to be there a year. What's he going to do? He's going to skimp by while he's there. And he's going to take that big paycheck and he's going to take out enough to live on. He's going to send the rest of it home. Why? Because that is home. Now you may say, well, the reason he's sending it home is that's where his heart is and his treasure follows. That's right. And you may say, well, that turns the Scripture upside down. They go together. Take it from the other side. So here we are, those of you who belong to Christ, we're living in this world, and it's a struggle. Let's face it. Sometimes the things we can see with these eyes and touch with these hands, they become so real, we have a little trouble getting our mind on things above. What can we do about it? Well, one of the things we can do about it is we can deliberately, by the grace of God, invest in heavenly treasure. Money? Yeah. Take some out of the account and give it to missions. Give it to the church. Give it to the Lord. But not just that, with your energy. Spend time. Say, today I'm not going to do what I was going to do. I know someone that needs help and I'm going to go and I'm going to try to be of help to them. You do these things, and if you do it a while, what happens? Where you invest yourself, you find out that that is where your heart follows. It's like a man who invests in the stock market, or a lady who invests in the stock market. Suppose you invest in the stock market. You've never cared much about the Dow Jones before, but suddenly you find yourself every few days, you're calling up and you're trying to find out how your stock is doing. Suddenly, your heart is there because that's where you're investing your treasure. Or take it from a negative viewpoint. So let's consider Dorothy. Dorothy seems to be a fine, upstanding Christian woman. She's been faithful in the church. She reads her Bible, prays, goes to church services, etc., etc. And one day a friend says to Dorothy, Dorothy, I'm going to go play bridge with some of my friends. Would you like to go? And Dorothy says, okay. Now, I don't know anything about bridge except it's a card game, okay? And so she goes and she plays bridge and she really enjoys it. She enjoys the fellowship with a couple other Christian ladies there. And she really likes it. And so when this same lady invites her again a couple weeks later, she eagerly accepts the invitation. She enjoys it again. It's challenging. It stretches her mind and she likes the competition. Before long, she's going every week and playing bridge. She really likes it. And she begins to look for other opportunities besides this lady. Before you know it, she's playing bridge three times a week. She is getting books from the library on how to improve her bridge game. Now, a change has taken place. It's kind of subtle, but a change has taken place. Now, here's my question. Is it wrong for her to play bridge? Is it a sin to play bridge? Is she still reading her Bible and praying and going to church services? Yep, every week. But there's a subtle change. What is the change? The delight of her heart is shifted. Now, in her spare moments, what is she thinking about? She's not thinking about what's in the Word. She's thinking about what's in that other book about how to improve her bridge strategy. It has become the delight of her heart. What I just described, that happens to thousands and ten thousands of people. And I'll guarantee you, you are vulnerable to it. This is why Jesus says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, whatever it is. But instead, store up treasures in heaven because I want your heart. And the treasure in the heart, they're like this. Where you find one, you find the other. Ultimately, we lay up treasure in heaven by recognizing and making the most of the truth that the Lord Himself is our treasure. That man found the treasure in the field. After he bought the field, where do you think his heart was? His heart is right there in the field with the treasure. So, you know that for several weeks we talked about and we investigated in Scripture what the Word said about fasting. And some of you are probably thinking, we finally got past fast. That's good. Not really. This is all tied together. The intensity of fasting and coupling that with prayer, a lot of that is a way of begging God to open our eyes to spiritual reality. Realities like this. Asking ourselves, honestly, where is my treasure? It's a battle. So today, we deal with this command. Don't lay up for yourself treasure on earth, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. And this is connected to the first part of the chapter 6, 1 through 18. You remember in verse 1, he says, do not, let me just read it for you again, Matthew 6:1. Beware of practicing your righteousness, that is, these righteous deeds, before other people, in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So what does a person do who fails to obey that command? He does these things, whether it's giving, praying, fasting, in order to get the praise of man. What's he doing? He is laying up treasure on earth. That's what the Pharisees were doing. That's why three times Jesus says they have their reward. It's their earthly treasure. You know, it's not money. It's the praise of others. But they have their reward, and that's all the reward they will ever get. There will be no heavenly reward. See, this is all tied together. In whatever we do, we are to be looking to Him and laying up our treasure in heaven. So one more time, the kingdom of heaven is like a man, it's like hidden treasure, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. So I want to say to us, our heavenly treasure is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is worth everything. So, as we go through this life, let's keep on looking to Jesus, treasuring Him, obeying Him, and by doing so, laying up for ourselves treasure in heaven to His glory. Would you pray with me? Father, for most of us, we haven't really talked about anything new and different. But we acknowledge before You that so many things, we know them, but they kind of get shoved back. And we need You to speak to us in a fresh way about our treasure and our heart. And I trust You're doing that this morning, Lord, and I give You thanks. And Lord, I pray especially, this is a question that we can't do very well just in a service like this and then let it go. So would You give us grace this week to keep asking this question? Not even in an introspective way where we're just thinking about us, but we're thinking about Your glory. Why You tell us this, how we're to do it. Lord, we realize that when we ask where our treasure is, we're asking where is our heart. So we pray it again, Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, we thank You again for the truth of Your Word. Continue to use it to mold us, shape us, hammer us where we need it, encourage us where we need it. We trust You to do Your work. In Jesus' name, amen.